Book of Jude comes to a very thrilling end as we see the saints of the Lord directed. In these closing verses, we just find a treasure trove of exciting benefits from being a child of the King. So how are the saints of the Lord directed here? Well, in verse 17, we are directed first to remember the Scriptures. Show me a strong believer, and I'll show you someone that is much in the Scriptures and believes that which they read. Friend, God has given us a piece of heaven on earth. It's called the Bible. Learn more, love more, live more of the great truths contained in these 66 volumes. Remember ye the words that were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we directed to remember the Scriptures, in verses 22 and 23, we are directed to rescue the sinner. The heart of God is to bring lost sinners to salvation in Jesus Christ. And in verse 22, Jude says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that are spotted by the flesh." Now, how do we accomplish that? We accomplish that, first of all, with frontline ministries, that of the local church, and also by foreign missions supporting God-called missionaries into lands that which we are not called to. So we are exhorted in that message that as you witness, be compassionate, be constrained, and be cautious. We are to be a friend of sinners that is driven by constraint but overwhelmed with caution. And finally, the rewards of our salvation, of which there are four. Now, we've covered the first two rewards, Brother Danny, in verse number 20. This morning, we are going to begin verse 21, looking at the final two rewards. So if you found your place there in the book of Jude, let's go ahead and stand together this morning, and let's read our scripture text together. Verses 20 and 21. Everybody ready? The Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And all God's people said? Amen. Again, the title of the message is "The Rewards of Our Salvation." Now, we are looking at the four rewards of salvation that Jude mentions that will brighten our day and that will fortify our faith as we walk beneath the rising shadow of the coming tribulation and the current dark cloud of apostasy over the church of God. The rewards of our salvation. Now, friend, only saved people can access or use these rewards. The first reward is the inward look of progress, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. The Christian on the construction crew of Jesus Christ is busy building. He's not only building up himself, but he is building up others in the body of Christ. Hey, anybody can tear down. It takes skill to build. Learn to build up yourselves in the things of God so that you can then assist in building up of others. The inward look of progress. The second reward is the outward look of prayer. Jude said, praying in the Holy Ghost. We are to look out at everything and everyone that needs our prayer and intercession. And so we noted the agreement of the Spirit. God's word concurs with our prayer. Not only the agreement of the Spirit, we talked about the abiding of the Spirit. Don't quench, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Number three, the aiding of the Spirit. When we pray, the Holy Ghost jumps in and he helps our prayers. And number four, the access of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that opens the door of heaven to our pleas. My friend, maintain private prayer and keep the prayer meeting of the church going. Reward number one, the inward look of progress. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Reward number two, the outward look of prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Number three this morning, the upward look of position. Jude said in verse number 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Reward number one, centered around the Word of God. It's how we build our faith. Reward number two, centered around prayer. Reward number three is there to keep either of those from getting stale, mundane, routine. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Four simple thoughts this morning. Number one, what it is not. Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, I must warn you that there are some under the banner of Christianity that take this phrase and twist it extraordinarily out of context. They say that this verse teaches that a believer can lose his salvation if he does not keep it. But I want you to notice that Jude did not write, keep yourselves saved. That would be foolish and contradictory, because Jude has already assured us of the eternal security of the believer. Look back at verse number one. One of the first things we learned in the book of Jude was this. Jude said, we are preserved in Jesus Christ. We don't keep ourselves saved. Jesus keeps us saved. Friend, once saved, always saved. That has been, that is, and that will always be a Bible doctrine, not just a Baptist doctrine. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Friend, this phrase actually has nothing to do with salvation. This phrase is talking to those who already are saved. You remember how verse number 20 began? Look at it. It says, but ye beloved. Then we get to verse 21 where our phrase, keep yourselves in the love of God, is found. That is a continuation of that thought, but ye beloved. Notice the comma there at the end of verse 20. Unsaved folks are not, nor are they ever referred to as beloved. That is a term that is reserved for the people of God. So verses 20 and 21 are telling us of the privileges of God's people. It is the rewards of our salvation. It is not the requirements to keep our salvation. Amen. Think about it like this. The position is secure, but the practice has to be sustained. Let me give you a few verses. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let me give you another verse, and this will be a key verse for today. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, who hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The deal is done, but the details are being decided. In the eyes of God, we are already positioned in heaven with Christ. The deal is done. Nothing and no one can undo that. We sit together with God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My friend, if you're saved, then you can't get unsaved. If you're saved, then you cannot not go to heaven one day. The deal is done, but the details of how we will arrive are being decided. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Number one, what it is not. It is not about the possibility of losing our salvation, nor is it about our responsibility to keep ourselves saved. What it is not. Number two, what it is. What it is, man. Keep yourselves. Y'all gonna make me laugh. What is it? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Friend, that is about the child of God staying in the place where the blessings of God flow. You want the blessings of God in your life? You want the blessings of God on your home? Do you want God's blessings on your job, in your finances? Do you want the blessings of God in your schoolings, in your relationships? Then keep yourselves in the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God, it means that we keep ourselves in the conscious enjoyment of God's love, that we keep ourselves in the sphere within which the love of God is able to bless us, that we stay in the sunshine of the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Did you know Jesus made a very similar statement? John chapter 15 and verse number 9, Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Watch this. "Continue ye in my love." God brought us into his great love, and we can and we must stay in that to keep ourselves in it. See, the love of God means much more than a special kind of feeling. And we do get those, right? I mean, I had all kind of special feelings on last Sunday morning as I baptized Al and Chevy and Colt. And then when Josh got up at the invitation and come down and asked Jesus Christ to save them, woo, hallelujah, that was a spiritual high. I had all kind of special feelings. But the love of God is much more than that. It's that first love that deepens over the years. God's love is not full of shallow sentiment. Psalm 97 and verse number 10 says this, "Ye that love the Lord hate iniquity." To love God means that we love what God loves. To love God means that we hate that which God hates. God loves holiness. Do you? Do you love being set apart for God? That's holiness. God hates lying, proud looks, sowing discord in the church. Friend, if you practice those as a matter of habit, then you can't. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We love what God loves. We hate what God hates. Jesus said, "Continue ye in my love." Now we get over to Revelation chapter 2, and we find that the church of Ephesus failed to do that. They did not maintain that first love. The first love is Jesus Christ. In fact, did you know that Jesus Christ is? He is the love of God that we are to keep ourselves in. Let me give you a verse, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Did you see that? Jesus, my friend, is the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts as the Holy Ghost reveals Jesus Christ to us. Jesus is the one whom we are to abide in, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Do you know what that is? It is about resting. Let me give you that verse again, Ephesians 2, 6. "And he hath raised us up together." Watch this. and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Friend, you don't have to wait till you die to go to heaven. If you're saved, then right now you are seated in the heavenlies. Now, what is the heavenlies? There is a little difference between heaven and the heavenlies. So what is the heavenlies? Well, the heavenlies is the sphere of victory where the Christian lives day by day. See, friend, when Jesus died, we died with him. When Jesus got up out of that grave, we got up with him spiritually. Amen. When he is seated, we are seated. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing right now? He is resting in his finished work. Do you know what I'm doing right now? Yeah, you're preaching. That's true. But my friend, I am also resting with him in his finished work. Have you learned to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, my friend, you don't understand what it's all about. To simply lay back in the secure arms of the Lord Jesus Christ and rest. Amen. It's the picture of the blessed John the Beloved, laying there on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. Resting. Is that you? You say, preacher? You don't understand the load I'm under. You don't understand the circumstances in my life. I may not, but I do know he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You don't have to wait to go to heaven. God wants to bring heaven to you right now. Friend, do you know where do you know where Paul was when he wrote that text? Paul was in prison. But when you open the book of Ephesians and you read it, you don't smell the air of a prison. You smell the air of heaven. The Apostle Paul was full of peace and joy. All of these things, why? Because he was seated in the heavenlies. What am I telling you? I'm telling you this. I don't care how long you've been saved or how short a time that you've been saved. I'm telling you, we can keep the fervor and the zeal. We don't have to retreat to lukewarmness. Friend, I don't care how long you've been saved. We can stay in the light of full assurance. We don't have to creep back into the shadows of doubt and fear and uncertainty and indifference. We can abide in Christ no matter the circumstances in our life. It is the upward look of position. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So we've seen what it is not, what it is. Number three, I want you to see how it's done. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Well, the first thing I want to encourage you with this morning is this. The Lord's going to help you do it. Let me give you a verse, 2 Timothy 3:5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into patient waiting for Christ. Isn't that good? The Lord's going to help guide our heart into the right way. Listen, God deposited the four rewards of this salvation into our spiritual account, and by all means, he intends for us to use them. The Lord started the process just like he did in salvation. The Father brought us into the love of God when he saved us by his dear Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God's done everything he can for this relationship between us and him. But we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. God is not going to put a chain around our neck and tie us down at the stake so we can't wander away. God brought us in to the love of God at salvation. The other side of the coin is us practically holding that position, that zestfulness between us and God. How? By godly living. So how is it done? How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Did you know we are actually given some very specific steps? Number one, first of all, obedience. And you spell it O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that I believe. You want to keep yourself in the love of God? Obedience. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Let me give you another verse. John 15 and verse 10. Jesus said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Good old-fashioned obedience. Those that keep the word of God, i.e. those that obey the word of God, the Bible, listen, the love of God is in them. If you want to secure this reward of salvation, my friend, there's no other way around it. You must start living an obedient Christian life. No obedience, no love of God for you. Listen, we grow in our love for God as we listen to His Word and as we obey His Word and as we delight ourselves in doing that which is pleasing to Him. That's how we keep ourselves in the love of God. Did you know that it is the dedicated, separated Christian that has the closest bonds of fellowship with the Father? Can I show you that? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. God said, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. There's separation. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. There's the dedication. And then God said this, separation, dedication. Then God said, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Wherefore, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It is the dedicated, separated Christian. Listen, you can't live any way you want and expect to be kept in the love of God. Obedience is the key. In fact, obedience doesn't just keep us in the love of God. It perfects the love of God in us. Are there areas of your life where you're not walking uprightly before the Lord? What goes on between those ears? Your deeds? Your speech? Not around us. Outside of here. What your eyes look at. What you do when you're all alone. Friend, are there areas of your life where you're not walking uprightly before the Lord? Can I tell you, too much is at stake. Is that issue that the Holy Spirit of God is pointing to you about? Is that issue between you and God more important than the blessings of God on your life? Oh, sin makes us so foolish. Friend, this book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. Listen to me. Get into the Bible, see what it says, and then start doing what it says. If you're single, that's what you ought to do. If you're dating, that's what you ought to do. If you're married, that's what you ought to do. If you're a child, that's what you ought to do. You ought to get into the Bible, see what it says, and then start doing what it says. Amen. The love of God is fueled by our obedience. And obedience draws us right next to the Father and Son. Did you know that? Go quickly to John 14. John 14, look at verse 21. Listen to what Jesus said here. Some amazing truths that are revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 21. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him," he said. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Wow. You say, "Preacher, that sounds good, but I've gone too far. I'm ashamed how I've been living. My heart is so cold. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. And I don't even have a heart for either of those. God's barely a part of my life. The love of God just doesn't seem that realistic to me anymore. I don't think God would have me back at this point." Can I give you a verse? Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and 38. Paul said this. Paul said, "I am persuaded." That means you can take it to the bank. It's rock solid. It's sure. Paul said, "I may not know everything, but this one thing I know, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," watch this, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Amen. "Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. The love of God is open to us all, even the most carnal of Christians. Don't ever doubt it. But notice what Jude said. He said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Not just you, but you are to keep others in the love of God as well. Another way to keep in the love of God is by showing compassion to the brethren. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeing his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion toward him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" There's that love of God again. That means we must be a regular attendee of the house of God. Why do you say that, preacher? Else, how are you going to know what's going on in the brethren's life? Listen, when we don't engage in helping in any way we can, that keeps us out of the love of God. But when we engage in helping any and every way we can, that keeps us in the love of God. How do you know that, preacher? Well, the text we just read from us on the screen says, when we shut up our bowels of compassion toward the brethren in Christ, the love of God does not dwell in us. Self-centered Christians who suffer the dreaded disease of me-ology, characterized by those symptoms of me, myself, and I, they can't see, they don't care, and they don't help others in the church. My friend, these are Christians who have not kept themselves in the love of God. Listen, when you see that, I want to tell you this morning that you have a duty before God to get them back into the love of God. Keep yourselves. Another way we keep ourselves in the love of God is by sacrifice. Sacrifice like God did for us. Sacrifice for the family of God. That's wrapped up in this concept of keep yourselves in the love of God. Let me give you a verse, the one right before, 1 John 3:16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God." How do we perceive the love of God? Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yeah. There it is, big, plain, and straight. Preacher, I want to stay in the love of God. Okay, then start doing something for your brothers and sisters in this place. Visit the shut-ins and the sickly. Hug the lonely and set a time to go visit them. Send heartfelt, handwritten cards and notes. If you're talented with carpentry, with plumbing, or mechanics, then help others in the church with those needs. If someone needs a ride to church, then my friend, anywhere they need to go, go get them. Somebody needs food, buy them groceries. If somebody needs someone to talk to, shut up and listen to them. If someone needs their yard cut, then go cut it for them. Hey, do you know what the amazing thing about that is, friend? Listen, every one of those things that I've just mentioned, I've witnessed happen in this church over the past 3 years. Every one of them. Hallelujah! Glory to God! That's great! But it's not enough, because you said you got to keep on doing it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. It's not a one and done thing. It's continual. How is it done? Obedience, compassion toward the family of God, sacrifice for the family of God, God's promise to direct our hearts into the love of God. Jesus is the love of God. Nothing can separate us from him. We got to protect our heart. Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, to keep, to guard, to protect thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're looking at these four rewards of salvation that Jude mentions as his book comes to a close. My friend, it will fortify your faith. It will brighten your day as you walk beneath the rising shadows of the coming tribulation and the current dark cloud of apostasy over the church of God. If we'll utilize them, God's deposited them into our account. If we'll make use of those rewards, it'll make a difference in your life. This morning, we're looking at the upward look of position. We've seen what it's not. We've seen what it is. How it's done. Number four. So what? So what? Friend, when we fail to keep ourselves in the love of God, then we are apt to forget that the man or woman who is opposing us is a lost soul needing salvation. The only thing we'll be able to focus on is the wrong that they've done to hurt us, and we lose our effectiveness at evangelism. That's why, so what? Something else. Spiritual battles. Inequities at work. Injustices by an authority figure. The betrayal of trust in the marriage. Listen, the love of God poisons. It poisons the root of bitterness so it doesn't grow in our heart. Friend, the love of God is what keeps the combat of spiritual battles from overtaking our compassion. That's why, so what? That's why we keep ourselves in the love of God. Again, Jude said, to keep yourselves. You are your brother's keeper. That's not a debate. You are your brother's keeper. Watch over each other. Friend, don't you dare watch a brother in this assembly, little by little, lose their sense of the love of God. You have a responsibility to keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't watch the wolf steal a lamb here, steal a sheep there, and so diminish our numbers as a church. No. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's why. So what? You remember what I said about salvation? At the beginning of the message, the deal is done, but the details are being decided. The question is not, will a Christian make it to heaven one day? The question is, what condition will we arrive in heaven at one day? Beaten up by sin? Tarnished by the world? In the shackles of the flesh? Listen, the details are being decided based on how we are living day by day in Jesus Christ. Are we in fellowship with God? Do we have sporadic fellowship with God? Or do we have no fellowship with God? The prodigal son of Luke 15 was still beloved by his father when he went away into that far country and wasted his life in riotous living. He was still beloved of his father. But you know what he did? The prodigal removed himself from the place where he could enjoy the benefits of his father's love to the fullest. Amen. He did not keep himself in the love of his father. We don't have to be like that. We don't have to live like that. Jude reminds us to keep yourselves in the love of God. Brother Byng, what a blessed place to be. Would you listen to me as I tell you very tenderly and affectionately? It is the most safe place on earth. In the love of God, it is the most peaceful place on earth. Church, it is the most fulfilling place on earth. You want to be happy? Stay in the love of God. You want to know more? Stay in the love of God. It's the most knowledgeable place on earth. It is the most clear place on earth. Because when we fail to keep ourselves in the love of God, soon our life begins to fill with darkness, emptiness, loneliness, fretfulness, fear, uncertainty. Do any of those categorize you? Listen, my friend, if you're struggling in any of those areas today, oh, I pray that you would allow the Lord to give you some help today, because that's not what God wants for his children. God desires us to thrive while we're alive. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. You got that in salvation, didn't you? But Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. How is that done? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Remember the upward look of position. God has made us sit down together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sister Tasha, if you'll come to the piano for the invitation. I want you to listen as we close. If you're settled about your future, you can have peace about your present, even if you don't know where your next step is going to be. God is in control. He will lead you safely to your ultimate destination. Just stay in the love of God. Let the burden go. It's not yours to bear. Live for Jesus. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Amen. Listen. Look up. The upward look of position. Look up so that you can look ahead. That's what many of you are worried about this morning. You're looking ahead, but you're forgetting to look up. You need to look up so that you can look ahead. Because if you just keep looking ahead, then your pilgrim journey is going to be one that is marred with restlessness, lack of peace, darkness, and uncertainty. Look up so that you can look ahead. Our chief command in the Bible is what? love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind. That's our chief command. Keep yourself in the love of God. Listen, for what we owe Him, our love is a very small thing to give. Yet it is what we can give. So give it to Him today. Would you stand with me? Let's pray.